Acts chapter number 9 in your Bible. Again, let me just say thank you to each of you for faithfully being a part of the church in these interesting days. You know, it was really nice to be able to be back in church September, October, and most of November. It's nice to see many of you, we give God the glory for it. But I want to just say thank you for faithfully being a part of these live stream meetings now for some of you for almost 9 months. And thank you for doing. I guess in some way, all of us have been on the live stream for 9 months because we couldn't come to all the in-person services anyway. And so I just want you to know from my heart that I, as a pastor, of course, I have no idea anything like this would ever take place as a pastor. And for you and us being a part of the church, we never would have expected anything like this either. So, but we know that if we allow Him to continue to try us, we can come forth as gold. And God be the glory for all of it. Amen. Okay, Acts chapter number 9, I'd like to speak to you on this theme this morning. God's grace changed more than His name. God's grace changed more than His name. We are once again introduced to a man by the name of Saul. Saul was a man at this point in his life who, I believe, when he got up in the morning, the first thing on his mind was, how can I serve God by killing Christians? You say, that doesn't make sense. But Saul thought he was serving God. Saul thought he was doing something for God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this song that we just heard. And again, to be reminded of Brother Ron Hamilton, his dear wife Shelley right now, would you please minister to them? Would you minister to Mrs. Hamilton and her kids and their kids and spouses and the care nurses that care for Brother Ron? Would you just minister to them? I don't know why, but you've laid them on our heart once again, obviously through this song that he wrote. When it's your time, Lord, you take him to heaven. Thank you, Lord, though, for these updates. And that he's a man of laughter. We're grateful for that. And now, Lord, we need you again in this wonderful time called church, preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for the family of God that we can be co-laborers together with you. Lord, we pray that today you would add to the family, or that someone would get saved even in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, Saul, he was a very religious man. Saul probably would have known much more about you and me even at this point in his life. He would have known so much about the Jewish religion, much about the even into the Old Testament. And so for Saul, he was doing what he thought God wanted him to do. You know, it's amazing, really, when we think we know what God wants us to do and we're just going right at it, that maybe it's not what God wants us to do. And just because we think it's what God wants us to do, we need to make sure and line up with the Word of God. Well, this Bible text is the story of a conversion of a man. In fact, it is evidence once again that God can take someone who is going the complete opposite direction to the point of taking men and women and putting them in prison and witnessing Stephen's execution and again thinking that it's done in the name of God, that God can take someone like that in a very worst of the worst, and He can make them to be completely and radically transformed and going in opposite direction through faith and repentance. And we can read much of His writing in the New Testament today. The power of God in changing a life, and not just in name, but we see that even in His life. You know, in 2020, God is still doing that. God is still taking people and taking them who are going away from God, and He is after them because it was God who first loved you. It was God who first loved me, and he's still wanting people to repent through faith and repentance and live a new life in the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't anyone today that is too far away from God. There isn't anyone today that is too low that cannot get saved. We see that even in the example of the man before us today. Can the grace of God reach down to save my father? Yes, he can. Can the grace of God reach down to save, you fill in the blank? Yes, he can. We see the grace of God did a glorious and wonderful work on the road to Damascus in the life of Saul. Saul's hometown, we see here, was Tarsus. Tarsus. It is located at the corner where Asia Minor meets Syria. It's north of Israel. North of Israel. It was a very popular gathering place for many people. It was a city that was famous for its university. And along with Athens and Alexandria, Tarsus ranked with these three great universities. They were kind of like the Harvard, Yale, and Princeton of their day, if you will. So you had Athens, Alexandria, and Tarsus, and that's where Saul was from, Tarsus. His father was a Roman citizen. And so we would learn later that Saul inherited from his dad, the right of being a Roman citizen. But not only was his father a Roman citizen, but his father was also a Jew and a Pharisee. And so this would help Saul to match the zealous credentials of any Jew. Of course, growing up in a Jewish home, Saul was taught a trade. This is just a quick introduction to Saul. He was taught how to take material and weave it together in such a fashion into strips. This material was made from goat's hair. Goat's hair. And I was thinking about this, and I mean, I've seen a few goats in my life, and I realize they have hair, but I don't know. When I think of a goat, I don't think of it being really, you know, big, long, and bushy hair, but they were specifically black goats, and they would take this black hair of the goat, and they would tie and make this material and tie these strips together, and they were used to make tents. They were used to make tents. And so Saul was a tent maker. And I'm told that these tents are still being made today, and we could see them if we were ever to go to the Middle East. Now, Damascus. He's on his way to Damascus. It is a key commercial city, about 175 miles north of Jerusalem. It was a trade route that would link Damascus to other cities in the Roman world. And here Saul is on this highly popular road, highly traveled road. Speculation, it could be that he was on this road specifically because he knew that there would be Christians that would be following it on it, going to other cities within this trade route, and again, spreading the message from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost part. That's what we've been seeing. And by the way, that's what's been happening. The gospel has been advancing. Souls are being reached. And we even learned that the uttermost part with the Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch, that basically covered the entire Great Commission already within the early stages of the church here in Acts. But Paul is confronted here on the Damascus Road. And I would like to say, by way of introduction, that this confrontation is with the grace of God. He met head on with the grace of God. It is the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men, including Saul of Tarsus. It is the grace of God that brought salvation to you and your family. It is the grace of God that brought salvation to me, to my family. It's the grace of God that the missionaries that we support and the church planters that we support, they are taking the grace of God and they are confronting the lost in the areas where they are serving God today. Grace had been after the Apostle Paul. He was not the Apostle Paul yet. He was still Saul. But grace had been after him. I believe that when he was there watching Stephen being stoned, I believe that the grace of God was there, right there at that very moment. And as Stephen said, "Father, forgive them, and lay not this sin to their charge," whatever the exact wording is, then I believe that began to soften in some way down deep into the heart of Saul, even though he was continuing, even though he was headed, as it says here in verse number 1, that he was trying to get letters. Verse number 2, trying to get letters to give him permission to just put anybody and everybody into prison. Saul, who would later become Paul, was confronted by grace. It was all of grace. Today I'm on my way to heaven because of the grace of God. If you're saved, you're on your way to heaven because of the grace of God. Let's talk about grace today. All right, let's talk about the grace of God. Number one, we see that grace claimed his life. Grace claimed his life. In spite of his resume, think about it. In spite of his resume, grace claimed his life. Saul did everything possible to destroy Christianity, and yet grace claimed his life. Look in verse number 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Everywhere he goes, I'm my job, my goal is to destroy these servants of this Jesus Christ. My job is to put them in prison. We see that in verse number 2, and desired of him letters from the high priest to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, anywhere he went, think about it, anywhere he went, whether they were men, women, even women were not spared anything from Saul, he might bring them bound, tie him up, and bring them bound to Jerusalem. Saul did everything in his power to destroy Christianity. And so the grace of God came into Paul's life. It claimed his life. This grace is still available today. Turn back to Acts chapter 7. Let's read just quickly Acts chapter 7. We spoke of this a moment ago. In verse 58, the Bible says, "And cast him out of the city," that's Stephen, "and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul." Here we see that time when Stephen, the first martyr, would die and Saul would be there to witness it. Again, in spite of Saul's deeds, in spite of what Saul was involved in, the grace of God claimed his life. Grace has been referred to as the unmerited love and favor of God for undeserving sinners like you and me. The unmerited love and favor of God for undeserving sinners like you and me. In spite of all I am, in spite of all you are, in spite of all that we have done, in spite of all that we have done against God, praise God for his extending grace of salvation to sinners like Saul and to sinners like Ben and to sinners like you today. It's the grace of God that claimed the life of Saul. It's the grace of God that claimed my life too. I'm thankful that at the age of 9 years old, I recognized several things. Have you recognized these from the Bible? These are from the Bible. I recognized some things from the Bible. Number one, I recognized from the Bible that I was a sinner. And I still am, by the way, that I was a sinner. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I must recognize that I am a sinner. You must recognize that you are a sinner. It doesn't matter how many sins you've done, a lot, a bunch, too many. There isn't enough to take you away from the grace of God. Then I recognize something else from the Bible. Number two, I recognize that sin must be paid for. There is a penalty that comes along with sin. Today I drove down 16th Avenue, as I do every Sunday morning, and it was ever dark this morning. I didn't think it was ever going to get light out there this morning. And it was about 7:30, and I was coming along 16th Avenue. No lights were flashing, but I began to notice something in the distance. I began to notice there were vehicles that all looked the same. I will admit that I stepped on the brakes ever so slightly. I might have been going slightly over the speed limit. It was dark, you know, and I'm confessing my sin right there, okay? Sure enough, there were five RCMP cars on 16th Avenue. And then as I'm driving down 16th Avenue and I tried to kind of look around to see what was going on. I mean, come on, looky-loo. Have you ever been to looky-loo? Looky Ben this morning. And I was driving down, you know, the rubberneck syndrome, right? And I was driving down 16th Avenue. And then you know what was coming this way on 16th Avenue? I don't know what you call it, but I call it the paddy wagon. Paddy wagon. And by the way, that's not to pat somebody and give them a clap. It's not to pat them on the back. You see, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but somebody, I don't think somebody had five RCMP officers at their house to congratulate them on being a citizen of Burnaby. I think probably they were there because there was something going on, and I would say more than likely that it was against the law of the land. They were breaking the law. When you break the law, there's a penalty to pay, right? When you break the law, it might be a speeding ticket. You've had them. I've had them. Okay, maybe you've never had one. If you have, then I will pat you on the back for that, okay? Someday when I can get close to you, and I'll pat you on the back, okay? But we've all broken the law. There's a penalty to pay when we break the law. Hey, but greater than the law of Canada is the law of God. And I tell you what, sin separates us from God. You see, God is holy and God is perfect and God is just. And I recognized when I was 9 years old that there was a penalty on sin. Death and hell was the penalty. But then I'm so glad the Bible told me that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, and he willingly died so that my sin could be forgiven. And I learned that from the Bible. I learned that from the Bible as a child. And by the way, whether you're a child or whether you are not a child anymore, you're an adult now, have you ever known about this? Do you know that you can be saved today? Do you know that the grace of God can claim your life today? You say, well, I'm no Saul. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's Saul's sin or your sin. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, you will never be cleansed from sin. But with the blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanseth us from all sin. Then I recognize, lastly, that if I by faith accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, He will come in and live inside of me in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And that when I die, like we just sang in that last song, I will die and I will go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He lives, I'll be in heaven someday. Because He lives, we'll join many from Anchor Baptist Church that have gone on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're now in that great cloud of witnesses. Why? It all comes back to the grace of God. The grace of God claimed his life. Regardless of his deeds, God's grace met with Paul on the road to Damascus. God's grace is sufficient today to save you. God's grace is sufficient today to claim you. Do you realize this right now? If you are not saved, you are claimed. But you're not claimed by God. You're claimed by the devil. Oh, think about it now. You're claimed by the devil. I think it's John 8. Could we go over there quickly? And I might be wrong. It's happened many times. I was right this time. Okay, good. Mark that one down. I need one of those. Look at John 8, 44. The Bible says, ye are of your father the who? Devil. Wow. If you have not been claimed by the grace of God, then you have been claimed by the devil. Is God your father? Have you been saved? If not, the Bible says you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Oh, today, would you, like when I was 9 years old, would you be willing today to let the grace of God claim you? The grace of God will take you out of the hand of your father, the devil, and the grace of God will put you into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his hand is in the hand of the Father. In John chapter number 10, we learn about that he and God are one, and we have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. Let the grace of God claim your life today. Trust him today. It matters not what you've done. The grace of God is able to take you from where you are today and save your sin-sick soul and give you a home in heaven and to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. The grace of God claimed his life. But then number two, the grace of God changed his life. Wow, you talk about a change. I remember that song. You remember it? From the bus route, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change. Since when? Since I've been born again. The grace of God changed his life. It was very clear that he was on his way to defend and expand Judaism. Saul of Tarsus was anyway. Oh, but the grace of God changed his life. It changed more than his name, although it did change his name to Paul. Paul, on the other hand, was a man who looked at all the achievements of his past life as nothing and who wanted nothing more than to be totally sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. How can this happen? It's the power of the grace of God. How can Saul, so bent on destroying something and then to be saved by the grace of God and then do everything in his life and then say everything that I did before was dung? It was waste, Paul said. Why? Because he said, now I'm living for Christ. He said in Philippians 1, I think it is, for to me to live is Christ. He was killing people that identify with Christ. But see, the grace of God changed his life. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Much of what we read in our New Testament came from the pen of this man who was once called Saul, who became Paul. The grace of God, it changed his life. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, this is exactly what happened to you, by the way. This is exactly what happened to me. It's not just for Saul. It's not just for Simon Peter. It's not just for Andrew. It's not just for the apostles and the disciples and the early church. It's for you and me today to recognize something, that we are on our way in life. Maybe we don't have Saul's resume, but we were on our way, headed for a crisis eternity. We were headed for hell, and boom, we ran smack dab into the grace of God. And the grace of God came over us, and the grace of God claimed us, and we by faith accepted Christ as our Savior. And then all of a sudden, the grace of God began to change us. Our direction for life completely changed. Our thinking of life began to completely change. Why we were, our purpose for living totally changed. Why? Because of the grace of God. You see, the grace of God did more for Saul than just change his name. It claimed him. It changed him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you haven't marked it, mark it by now. Mark it, mark it. Let it mark you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's changed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old sinner who comes to faith in Jesus Christ is transformed by the grace of God into a brand new saint for the glory of God. I was telling someone this week, saints are not people that have died, and then the Catholic Church says, okay, then you're a saint now. No, a saint is someone who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and accepts him as their personal Savior. So if you're on your way to heaven today and you're saved, you've experienced the grace of God, and your life has been claimed by the grace of God, then you, my friends, you are a saint of God. Not waiting to be a saint, you're a saint now. We're a saint now. Praise God that the grace of God changed his life. We are a new creature. Turn to Colossians chapter number 3 quickly. Colossians chapter number 3. Paul was confronted on the road to Damascus. What was he confronted by? Well, he was confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was confronted by the grace of God. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, I love Colossians 3. Look at this. If ye then be risen with Christ, what does that mean? That means that we are alive because who is alive? Jesus Christ is alive. Isn't it great? We just sang that song. How about it? Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Hey, because he lives, all fear is what? Gone. You know, some of us right now need to say bye-bye to fear. Not because you're something. No, because he lives. Because he lives, we're going to heaven someday. Because he lives, we can have the joy of the Lord as our strength. Because he lives, we have a local church, Anchor Baptist Church. Our 20th year to God's glory is coming up in June of 2021. We plan on celebrating it with all the bells and whistles we possibly can to God's glory. Because he lives, Paul said, if ye then be risen with Christ, meaning before we got saved, what were we? Dead. We were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And when we meet the grace of God, our soul, our life is claimed, and we're on our way to heaven, but our life is changed. We are no longer dead. Now we are alive. Why? Because of Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, you know, that's something to really meditate on. Who is our life? Is He your life? It goes along with our Bible lesson, being a disciple. Shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And we could go on and on through that text, but we won't for time today. When Paul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, grace claimed his life. It claimed his life. It had nothing to do with his list of sin. It claimed his life. How about you today? Have you allowed God to claim your life and give you eternal life? Have you been saved? The grace of God changed his life. It changed his life. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things had become new. His complete destination was changed. Folks, I want to remind you that hell is real. Hell is real. We live in a day when even some so-called churches belittle hell. They belittle the fire of hell. And I want to once again from God's word, I want to challenge us as we consider Luke 16, 19 to 31. We won't turn there, but if you want to jot that down, it's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And in 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9, you want to jot those down. I encourage you to read those verses. Why are you telling us this today? Once again, because Paul's destination was changed. Paul was headed religious but lost. Paul could have dotted any religious I and crossed any religious T that he wanted to with the best of the best, and he did that. He was trained in the Jewish religion. He was on his way. His direction for eternity was fire. It was the judgment of God. And by the way, if you reject the grace of God, then you are saying, I want the judgment of God. If you reject the grace of God, then you are saying, I will spend eternity. You may not want to repeat this, but it's what you're saying. You're saying, I'm not going to be saved. I'm going to just continue on. I don't know if I believe that, whatever. Look, folks, whether you believe it or not doesn't change truth. Whether I believe something or not does not change truth. This is truth. God's word is truth. True. It will never change. It will never be destroyed. And God's word tells me that without the grace of God applied to my life, I will end up in the lake of fire someday with the devil and everybody else that has rejected God, whether they have a shirt and tie on when they do it or whether they have tattered garments. It matters not. We reject the grace of God. We're headed to a Christless eternity in hell. You see, when Paul met the grace of God, it changed more than his name. It claimed him. It changed him. And then lastly, it completed his life. It completed his life. Paul at this time was a man of influence. Paul was a man of position at this time. I would imagine Paul had a pretty good income at this time on the road to Damascus. I would say that Paul had everything that he materialistically could have wanted or needed. But he was missing something that no dollar bill, that no amount of money, that no shekel could buy. He was missing the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And he came and was confronted with the grace of God. He found out that the grace of God had everything that he could ever desire. Religion could not produce it, but redemption could. Religion could not produce it, but a relationship could. Let's read what he says about himself. Quickly turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the grace of God, it claims us. The grace of God changes us, and the grace of God, it completes us. That's exactly what Paul ran into on the road to Damascus. And by the way, God is bringing His grace to confront you. Okay? God is not hiding somewhere. He has revealed Himself. He has revealed Himself in your very conscience. Read Romans chapter 1. He has revealed Himself in creation. He has revealed Himself through the Word of God. He has revealed Himself over and over and over again. So it isn't that God hasn't tried to meet you on the road to Delta, or on the road to Surrey, on the road to Vancouver, on the road to wherever. God has tried to meet you on certain roads. But if you blow right past Him, the grace of God, if you ignore the grace of God and refuse the grace of God, praise God, He'll continue, because He's not willing that any should perish. But you don't want to close out the grace of God. He is confronting you right now. Don't run past the grace of God. Humble yourself today and let the grace of God come into your life and save you. Humble yourself today and let the grace of God change you. Humble yourself and let the grace of God complete you today. It is everything that you need. Paul said this about himself in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. This is a faithful saying, verse 15. Well, let's read verse 14. Let's read verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I did everything I did in unbelief. But notice this next statement, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Notice though, with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, by the way, of whom I am chief. You see, Paul said, I did everything that I did. I did everything that I did religiously speaking, but it wasn't until the grace of God confronted me on the road to Damascus and faith and love, which was in Christ Jesus, that He saved me. Grace provided all that Paul had longed for. Quickly, grace was what provided that faith. It's by the grace of God that we have the faith to believe in Him. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. But it comes back to grace. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Today, we have a message to give people. It's a message of grace. It's a message that wants to claim their life for all eternity. It's a message. You're saved. The message of grace doesn't end. You and I need God's grace to live the Christian life. It's a message that can be changing. In one direction, completely going the opposite now. And it's the message that completes our life. And I'm not saying that we're going to die right now. Someday we will. Have you ever heard this statement? They had dying grace. I've heard that before. I've been with a few people, just a few, when within hours they were gone. There's something about the believer, when the believer dies, that there's grace there. There's no fear. Oh yes, we fear how we might go, but the grace of God comes in. Why? Because it's the grace of God that completes everything. It saved us, it changed us, and it's what carries us even through the valley, the shadow of death. We will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they come. The grace of God. I wonder this afternoon now, have you accepted the grace of God for your salvation? By grace are you saved. You're a Christian? Are you living in fear? You need not live in fear. By grace you can live in confidence. Saul a lot more changed on on the road to Damascus in his name. Why? The grace of God. We were given a new name when we got saved. Christian. Follower of Jesus Christ. Why?